There are parts, and then there are B-Pro Auto Parts. Parts built for every vehicle. Parts built to fit and function. Parts that are refining how we drive and redefining the category. Because every vehicle is a sum of its parts. So do yourself a favor and put B-Pro Auto Parts on the vehicles you service. Parts now, parts into the future. Welcome to the new aftermarket.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how bad is it when the crackheads are offended by what you say? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us. Yeah, this Hunter Biden thing, it's taking on a life of its own. Man, the mouth on that guy. And here's what gets me. He's like in his 50s, right? Who do you know in your 50s that talks like that, ladies and gentlemen? Just unbelievable. We're going to get to that story in just a little while. Our good friend Josh Jones dropping by, our great Republican strategist in D.C. Also, we've got a guy that's going to challenge Dan Crenshaw in the Texas Second. Steve Toth is his name, and he's a state representative right now. But there's a lot of concern in Texas over the rhino tendencies of Mr. Crenshaw. And Steve Toth is going to take the guy on. So ought to be a great conversation coming up a little bit later in the show. We are going to start, though, with an unusual story. And yes, I know that Barack Hussein Obama could get perp walked in. I know that, and Hillary might get, I get that, and if that happens during our conversation, we will break in. But, someone sent me, a couple of our great listeners in Memphis sent me a local story that I believe has national implications. And I want to welcome into the studio, our palatial studios in Memphis, Tennessee. She is with Moms for Liberty, also the Republican Party of Shelby County, Kristen New. Kristen, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, love to be here.
All right, and just, we got to set the rules because of this whole Hunter Biden thing. You know, we got to, you know, we can't be cussing on air.
All right, no cussing. And no cussing. We're not going to snort any Parmesan cheese.
No snorting of the cheese, yes. No hookers.
Just, oh, come on, Todd.
I got to throw being, that out there.
That's just crazy talk.
We that's the attorneys, you know. We got to list all the things, you know.
I have some artwork I can sell you, Todd.
Thank you. Thank you, Kristen. We're always looking for good artwork. So there is a crazy story here in town, and Kristen, you sent it to me. Well, we call them the Kristens. There's another Kristen, and we're all good friends.
There's lots of us.
And there are three Kristens in my life, and yes. It's hard to keep everybody in order. So we're having a big problem in the Memphis Shelby County school system, and they're 300 teachers short. They don't have qualified leadership. The children, an overwhelming percentage of the kids are not reading at grade level, and the kids just aren't even showing up for school. So they're trying to entice the children to come to the schoolhouse. And the way they've done this, Kristen, is they're going to be giving the children of Memphis the possibility to win tickets to a Glorilla concert.
So if you don't know who Glorilla is a Memphis rapper. And if you look up the lyrics, and I will just caution you first to look up the lyrics of her number one song and read them, you will be shocked at the language in these lyrics and the language that they are, I guess, really just advertising to the kids that, hey, these are your role models, kids. We're going to give you free concert tickets. And it's language. It's filled with the N-word. I can't say it. It's filled with the F-word. And any of those words are repeated in the classroom, I would think that those kids would be suspended, sent to the principal's office. But yet they are saying it's cool. We'll give you concert tickets. What kind of mixed messaging is that, Todd?
It's a great point, and I do have the lyrics pulled up here. And this
Lord.
And Dylan, help me out here. You're the music guy. Is it latte or lotto?
Now, that one, I don't even know if that's a word.
Oh, is that a latte?
Latte?
No, latte. It's L-A-T-T-O. It's Lotto. Is that an artist?
I don't think so.
Oh, I think it is.
It is.
Oh.
It's an artist. Okay. Yes.
Big Lotto.
She's mulatto. So she's mixed race, so she's Lotto. I do know this.
I'm already confused.
Oh, come on, Dylan. You should know this.
I can't.
I know this.
Wow.
Yes.
So anyway, these are the lyrics of the song that they want the children of Memphis to be exposed to. B-word, I'm F-wording, N-word free, broke N-word free, let's go, woo-woo, hey, N-word play wit yo D-word, not me, on gang. I'm F-R-E-E, F-word, N-word free, F-word. Oh, my, I can't say that on national radio either. My goodness.
Yes.
It just gets worse and worse as you go. So why in the world? So they're trying to figure out a way to get the kids to go back to school.
So here's what's happening. The parents are failing to register their kids for school. So they will not register their kids for school, and they just show up. Maybe the first day of school, maybe the first week of school, and the school doesn't know that they're coming. So in order to incentivize the parents to register their kids for school, they are saying, hey, kids, we'll give you free Glorilla tickets or a chance to win free Glorilla tickets so you go and you can pressure your parents to register you for school. Now, I have nothing against incentive programs. We do use incentive programs all the time. If you have 100% attendance for the month, we'll give you extra recess time or a no homework coupon or something like that.
Or a pizza party.
I have no problems with incentive programs when they are wholesome. But this is pedophilia. I mean, when you expose children to this type of sexual content, no.
It seems to me that if you were just randomly on the street and you went up and you started speaking this way to a child, that you would be arrested and you would be charged with some sort of a crime against children.
Absolutely. Well, you should be. So my question is, are they allowing this content to be in the classrooms at the school? If a child comes to school and says the N-word, the D-word, the F-word, are they allowing that in these schools? Is that something that is just okay with now? I don't know.
It's a fair question to ask. Again, if you want to incentivize this, what about just arresting the parents? If you're not sending your kid to school, mm-hmm. then you deserve to be in jail.
We have truancy laws.
We do have truancy laws.
You know, before they ousted Dr. Marie Fagans, she would actually go to the homes and knock on their doors.
So this is the school superintendent who was doing an amazing job, mm-hmm. and they were literally turning things around. What is it, over 70% of the kids cannot read at grade level? In Memphis schools, I believe.
That's correct.
It's outrageous. They were starting to make some headway, and then you've got basically a school board full of Glorillas who didn't like the woman.
Oh, if you read the Twitter accounts of some of these school board members, they rival Glorillas.
Many of them are, I mean, several could be considered illiterate. And
yes.
You just don't even know. I mean, right?
Correct. Yes.
This is insane. And again, when you're exposing children, especially young children, to these kinds of songs and this kind of material, you know, why should we be surprised when you've got 9, 10, and 11-year-olds that are literally out there carjacking kids and shooting people?
Right. We have that problem in Memphis. They're carjacking kids or shooting people. We have 14-year-old girls getting pregnant in Memphis and having babies. And we just had a breaking story, the tragic story of an Ole Miss football player who went to a party in Memphis and was tragically mowed down in the streets. And we have to look at the connection between the culture that we are perpetuating in the classroom and how that is affecting our reality.
Now, I think you're right here on this. Krista New is joining us in studio. She's with Moms for Liberty, also one of our great Republican ladies in the state of Tennessee. You know, when you wonder what in the world is going on at this school district, they're 300 teachers shy. In St. Louis, where they broadcast this show later in the evening, they are looking at shutting down almost half of the schools because people are literally fleeing St. Louis. And you can imagine why. I think the same thing is happening to some extent here in the Memphis area, downriver from St. Louis.
Yeah, and just to make sure that everybody could read this advertisement, they also advertised it in Spanish. just to make sure. They didn't want to leave anybody out.
Do the Glorilla lyrics translate well? That's I wonder if they do sign language. I'd feel bad for the sign language person.
Somehow they don't have any problems learning those words.
Wow.
Right? Those are the first ones.
That's just insane. You know, Kristen, again, when you look at nationwide at our education system and what they're shoving into the mushy brains of these kids, you know, as they're young and impressionable, how concerned should moms and dads be that this kind of stuff is happening?
I will be the bad guy here and say, get your kids out of these schools. If you can, get your kids out of public schools because there is an obvious agenda. We have, you know, Todd, you have allowed me and other representatives from our community to come here and just scream about this for basically 5 years now. And we kept telling you, this is what's going on in our schools. And even though we have school board members, we have superintendents, we even have teachers that say, no, it's not. I don't know how many other examples we have to bring to the community. We've already had the Satan Club at our schools. Now we have Glorilla concert tickets. I mean, what other examples do you need to believe us that this is happening?
How important is it that the Department of Education is abolished?
Oh, it's 100%. Well, the agenda comes from the top down. And these are all agendas. These are grooming agendas that they are grooming our kids. So why do they want to push this on our kids? What would be the purpose of that? Is there a good reason that you would want your kids to be exposed to such graphic sexual content? Is there a good reason to have books in the school libraries that expose kids to rape and graphic sexual content? Why?
These are all very fair questions. And I hesitate to say this, but I think it needs to be said. I think a lot of this is being intentionally done. Even in some of the smaller communities and the suburbs around the nation where you have these conservative, you know, communities, and yet their school districts are being controlled by radical leftists.
Yes.
And yeah, they may smile. They may be your neighbors, mm-hmm. and they have the nice lawns and, you know, they smile at you and, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, they are grooming the kids in the classroom, and many parents aren't even aware until it's too late.
That's right. They're grooming your children, and they are the answer to that is that they want to change the culture. And to do so, you have to start with the kids because that is the generation coming up, and you have to do it in the classroom. And that is where they are grooming these kids. And they did that by, you know, years ago, taking out the Ten Commandments. You couldn't put that in the classroom anymore. They took out prayer in school, even though we know Matthew 18:6 says anyone who causes the little ones to stumble would be better off they put a millstone around their neck and drowned into the ocean. But they ignore the biblical principles of education, and now this is what we're left with.
It's unacceptable. And if you are listening to us in the Memphis area, you need to be picking up the phones, and you need to be calling the Memphis Shelby County School System and let them know that you will not tolerate this, and they've got to put a stop to this nonsense. And again, even in the suburbs, you got to pay attention, folks, to what's happening in those schools.
Right. It comes into the suburbs. Yeah. Just like crime trickles into every suburban community from the cities, same thing. It always finds a way in.
Wow. I was shocked by this.
This is what I woke up and I kind of sitting there with my coffee, and I turned on Facebook, and that's one of the first stories that came up, and I almost spit my coffee out. I was like, are you kidding me?
My
Glorilla
goodness.
Concert tickets.
Kristen, is there a place, you have a website, where can people go if they want to reach out? And
Moms for Liberty, Shelby County, we are on Facebook, so you can look up Moms for Liberty, Shelby County on that. And the Republican Party of Shelby County, you can look up our Facebook page and our website on that. You can help us out if you want to get involved and volunteer. We are always looking for volunteers to do outreach into the communities and to just start spreading the message of conservative leadership and how that can fundamentally change the community for the better.
What about Jelly Roll?
Jelly Roll. That would have been awesome. Actually, you know,
that would have been cool.
That would have, right. So there are alumni from the Memphis Shelby County School Systems who have very successful lives who probably would help out if they were asked, but they're not being asked. Glorilla is who's being asked.
Well, she got the key to the city.
She did.
She is the pride
she is
and
the
joy.
Ambassador of the city is who we should all be. Wow. Todd, you should be more like Glorilla.
Oh Lord, let's add her to the music list.
What would Glorilla do? Is that our new?
Yeah, that's it. All right, we've got to take a break. Kristen, thank you for bringing this to our attention. I know a lot of our listeners are freaking out right now. And you folks in St. Louis, I mean, that's insane. The entire city seems to be evacuating. We got to put a stop to it, folks. And my recommendation is don't move. Stay and fight wherever you are, California, New York. Andrew Cuomo, don't you be moving to Florida, right? Don't you bring New York to Florida. You stay and fight. Do what you do there. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. You know, Mike has a passion to help everybody get the best sleep of their life, and he didn't stop by creating the best pillow. He also created the best bed sheets ever. Mike is offering the best deal on his Percale bed sheets. You can get a set for as low as $24.98. The MyPillow Percale bed sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. They look great, they feel great, and that means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 worth of merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS to receive the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $24.98. Order now or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today. What a crazy story. And I am telling you, the issue, the solution to about 90% of the problems facing our nation happening right in your local public schools. I am telling you, folks, and if we can get a handle on what's happening there, and if we can root out these perverts, and I don't know who, they have a brand new superintendent in Memphis, Dr. Roderick somebody. Dr. Roderick Perv is who he is. I mean, what kind of sickos would expose children to that? I got nothing against Glorilla. She's a grown woman. She does a lot for the community. But the language, the stuff she's been, Dylan, is it singing about or rapping about or hip-hopping about?
I would rap, yeah.
All right, rapping about. The stuff she's rapping about, geez, hello. It would make a Methodist church lady blush. I'm just telling you. So anyway, all that to say, pay attention to what's happening in your local public schools, ladies and gentlemen. Got it. We got to protect the children. Got to protect the children. All right. Real quick here, and we're going to jump into politics in just a few moments. But I've got to share something with you. We are now officially less than $3,000 away from reaching our goal to help the good people of Texas. This disaster relief effort has really been remarkable. You guys are just unbelievable as we raise all this money. And you guys have been so, so generous, almost $20,000. And I do think that we are going to be able to get there today. We just got word that a new wave of staffers from Food for the Poor have arrived this morning in Kerrville, and they're meeting with local partners to organize flood relief. There is also a lot of hope coming into that community, which is what we are doing. There's one mom who lost her 8-year-old daughter during the floods, but she chose to remember the gift that her child was. Take a listen. Well, we'll get to that audio in just a little while, but I am telling you that people are hopeful. And one of the reasons why people are hopeful is because of you and the incredible gifts that you have given. Again, $50 will get a family an emergency relief kit. And if you give us $100, we're going to be able to help two families. Whatever you can donate, whether it's $5 or $50 or $100, whatever is going to make a powerful impact on our friends in the Hill Country. I want you to go to my website. You'll see a banner at the top of the page called Help Texas. Click on that and you'll be able to make a donation. And if you don't see it there, just scroll down and you'll see another banner and you can click on that. But again, we are well over 75% of our goal right now. And I truly believe that we're going to be able to hit that goal by the end of the show today. You can also call 855-348-4673. That's 855-348-4673. and lend a helping hand. ToddStearns.com, our website. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Can we talk about Hunter Biden for just a moment? So it was a 3-hour interview, and I've never heard anybody drop so many F-bombs. It was just insane. And Hunter was tearing everybody a new one in this interview. He hates George Clooney. He hates Donald Trump. And wants to apparently invade El Salvador. Take a listen to some of Hunter Biden.
For someone, am I going to be like all these Democrats say, you have to talk about and realize that people are really upset about illegal immigration. You. How do you think your hotel room gets cleaned? How do you think you get food on your table? Who do you think washes your dishes? Who do you think does your garden? Who do you think is here by the sheer just grit and will that they figured out a way to get here because they thought that they could give themselves and their family a better chance. And he's somehow convinced all of us that these people are the criminals.
You can barely understand what the guy's saying because he's dropping those are the F-bombs, every single one of them. This guy is 55 years old. Yours truly, I'm 57. This guy is 55 years old. This is not some, 16 or 17-year-old boy, on the football team who just learned a bad word. This is a grown man with children, and he talks like that. And I'm telling you, if I were his handlers, I'd be handing him a cup to pee in because something's not right there with that guy. Oh, by the way, Hunter also said that the reason why Joe did so bad in the debates is because he was given Ambien to help him sleep. No, I'm serious. Oh, he's also going after all of Obama's inner circle. This is really pretty delicious because the Democrats are literally trying to destroy each other now. And it's pretty darn entertaining. As a matter of fact, Tommy Vitter, one of the former Obama aides, and others firing back. Cut number 6, please.
When it comes to the attacks on Hunter himself, what if we just stipulate for the hypothetical, all your business dealings were above board and legal. All your paintings were purchased by art lovers who loved the product and didn't know your name. Trump is worse. You were on the board of Burisma because of who your dad is. And that is what people hate about Washington. And it was part of the problem. And there's some other weird, he blames the debate on Biden staff saying they gave him Ambien on his foreign trip. But Biden got back from the G7 on June 14th. The debate was June 27th.
A lot of Ambien.
If Ambien was the issue, I don't think it's Ambien. It's age.
Also,
right?
He was tired, so they gave him Ambien.
Allow me to rant one more second. His big beef is that Republicans stick together and Democrats are united. But he's obsessed with this show, obsessed with George Clooney. They don't talk about Gaza until 2 hours and 50 minutes into the interview. I'm guessing that was the bigger threat to party unity than a George Clooney op-ed. You know what I mean? It's just this sense of entitlement that, from Biden, from his family, from the inner circle, that he was, owed the presidency, owed a second term. It is just very grating.
The whole premise of 2024 was, yes, voters are saying that Joe Biden's age is his biggest liability. But don't worry, because Joe Biden's the closer. And when you see him campaign, he's going to put those worries to rest. He had a good State of the Union, and then he had the worst debate any of us had ever seen, and it became insurmountable. And so at long last,
he didn't put the concerns to rest. He put his campaign to rest.
Right. And at long last, the Democratic establishment decided to listen to the voters. And it was very hard to get the establishment to do that, but ultimately they did that. And everybody kind of collectively ultimately were able to get Joe Biden to step aside and do the right thing for the country. Now, we don't live in the world where Joe Biden ran that race all the way to the end. But one thing we know is that Hunter Biden, throughout Joe Biden's presidency, was a terrible liability for him. And put the addiction aside, it is because he was on Burisma, because he became an artist, because he was part of a kind of like sleazy Washington that, as Tommy said, people hated. You were a liability. You should be ashamed of the ways in which you made your father's political life worse. And like the idea that we're going to listen to you now, like give me a break. It's ridiculous.
Man, what is up with the language there on the Democrat side of the good grief, guys? Unbelievable. Hey, look, I want to go back to Jake Tapper's book, right? This is huge. So Jake Tapper, in the book that he wrote with Alex Thompson from Axios, they actually did a deep dive into who was running the White House in the final days. And Jake Tapper said, matter-of-factly, that it was Hunter Biden that was acting as Joe Biden's chief of staff during the last year or so in the White House. This is unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen, just absolutely unbelievable. But now you have to wonder, okay, what exactly did Hunter do? What sort of access did he have? And was Hunter Biden part of the team that was responsible for all the pardons, right? But clearly, these people are nuts. Now, I want to say something here that may rub folks the wrong way, but I think it needs to be said. You can tell a lot about somebody by the way their children turned out. Not all the time, but I think by and large, most of the time, you can tell how a person was raised and whether or not they came from a good family, they had a good, proper upbringing. I don't know what's going on in the Biden home. I don't know, but it's not good. It is dark and evil. That's what I see. When you read the diary of Ashley Biden and the fact that her father was taking inappropriate showers with her, when you see the drug addiction and the lifestyle choices of Hunter Biden, you do have to wonder what exactly was going on in that household. And then just take a look at Donald J. Trump. And take a look at his children. They are all fine, upstanding, productive members of society. And you have to step back and, yeah, Trump's been married a time or two or three. But you know what? The kids turned out okay. And that tells me there was something good going on in the Trump home. But Joe Biden, and by the way, let me step back for just a moment. Take a long, hard look at what's going on with the Obama daughters right now. The media doesn't like to talk much about that, but they've got their own set of issues. But again, going back to Donald Trump, this is a man who loves his children. This is a man who raised his children to be responsible citizens, to strike out on their own and make their own mark in life. It's a very, very stark contrast to what's happening in the Biden household. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. In the break, head over to ToddStearns.com and look for the red Texas disaster relief button. Linda Helping Hand, folks, we're getting very close to raising our entire amount. And we can do that today if you lend us a helping hand. We'll be right back, America. All right, let's get to the phones. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Youngstown, Ohio, our great station there, 97.7 FM. Hal is on the line. Hey, Hal, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, I was listening to that lady earlier that was talking about how horrible the public school system is, and she's 100% right. The good news is there's a Christian homeschooling outfit that's been around for years. They're nationwide. They got top ratings and low prices, and they offer accredited courses. And I can give you their name and toll-free number right now, and your listeners can call them and get more information.
Yeah, Hal, pass along that info.
Okay, it's called the Abeka Homeschooling. It's A-B-E-K-A, Abeka. And they offer schooling for grades kindergarten through 12th grade. and accredited or non-accredited, whichever the people want. So it's accredited, K through 12, and it's a BECA. And their phone number is 877-223-5226. I'll repeat that, toll free, 877-223-5226. And they'll answer everybody's questions no matter what they are.
All right. Well, Hal, you did a great thing there. And Becca, they've got some great, great products and great programs for kids. And I think if we're gonna have a fighting chance of saving the country, we've got to get back to educating our kids, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. And we can't be relying on the government to educate the kids.
Right. And, you know, they even offer 12th graders, they get them prepared for college.
Wow. Well, I love it. Hal, thank you for calling in with that great info. Let's go to Houston. Mark listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Mark. What's going on?
Well, Todd, something occurred to me. I kind of noticed something that with all the criminal referrals from Tulsi Gabbard and all of the investigations that she had put together, nowhere in there does it say one thing about Joe Biden. In fact, it looks to me like Joe Biden was intentionally kept out of the loop because they already knew how incapacitated he was. And it wouldn't surprise me if at the end of the day, Joe Biden gets completely exonerated because they knew he was not healthy even back in 2016. That's why they kept him out of this loop of conspiracy, if you will. They didn't want him to have anything to do with it.
Or, Mark, maybe they thought he would have spilled the beans.
Absolutely. He didn't know how to hold on to the beans.
Mark, I like the way you're thinking. What a great irony. When it's all said and done, Biden's the only one who does not go to jail.
Right. Gets completely exonerated because of his health issues.
Interesting.
I mean, we all got it coming to us, some sort of sickness.
Well, that's true. It's a fair point. Mark, thank you for the call, sir. Thank you for that. Dylan, I got some fan mail, and it's not good. It's not good.
Oh, boy.
As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, I got two pieces of fan mail, and these are handwritten letters. I mean, I haven't gotten a handwritten letter in a very long time. All right. This is from, This is from Crystal Farkle. Todd Starnes, colon. Uh-oh, that's harsh. You know, when somebody addresses you with their colon, it's not going to be good. Todd Starnes, what exactly did you expect from the king of liars, Donald Trump? Didn't it ever occur to you that Trump is a user who would sell his grandmother to the highest bidder? And he might have been using Magites, well, that's what she calls us, Magites, to keep himself out of prison. Trump has no morals at all. He is anti-Christian as possible. He was not appointed by God, and only a fool would believe otherwise. Oh, my goodness. Crystal continues. Trump is not only a liar, he's a fraud. And everything in his past proves that frauds have no conscience. They'll do and say whatever they want. You've been duped. You've been duped. And you only have yourself to blame. In the meantime, he and his band of accomplices in Congress, the Supreme Court, organized religion, and the demons he has placed in his cabinet and other posts are dragging this country down the tubes. Signed, Crystal Farkle. Is that Fartle or Farkle? No, there's a K there. My apologies, Miss Fartle. I did it again. I'm terribly sorry. All right, there you go, Crystal. By the way, he cannot sell his grandmother to the highest bidder because she's dead. She's gone. Sorry. This item coming from Kansas. Dear Mr. Starnes, last night I heard you say hell. Uh-oh. When we become Christians, we are a new person, totally changed. The Bible says to sustain from all appearances of evil. No movies or TV. They are corrupt. What about Newsmax? I like Newsmax. I don't think you'll like what I've written. Uh-oh. Here we go. She listed the words, the curse words that I've said, Dylan. This is not good. Holy cow.
Are we in trouble?
We're in trouble. We better crank up the letter to the editor music again. We're going to be here for a little while. Apparently, I got a potty mouth. She says, Todd, these are the words not to say. And she actually highlighted it with a yellow marker. Wow. Jeez, Lou.
I'm so curious what your curse words are.
I'm not allowed to say heck because heck means hell. Oh, I said hell. Heck. I said both of them. Apparently, I've been accused of saying geez, golly gosh, and in red, geezaloo. She says those are curse words for God and Jesus. Geezaloo? What about Cheetos? Jesus. I also have been accused of saying darn, dang, and drat. What? She said all those words are curse words too. So you're telling me that darn and dang are curse words? Drat! Oh, also dadgummit and doggone it. She says saying dadgummit or doggone it is just like saying, damn, I said it again. Jeez, Lou. Oh, wait. What's wrong with me? And finally, she says, I've apparently said shucks. Have I said shucks? Is shucks really a bad word? I don't think it's a bad. She says shucks is a replacement for another word, and I won't write what it is. What does shucks mean? There you go. Well, anyway, I'm terribly sorry. This lady writing to us from the great state of Kansas, the lovely Miss Esther. So she's wanting me to clean up my potty mouth, my bad language, Dylan.
I thought that was cleaning up your potty mouth.
Me too.
Jeez, Lou is your, like, statement word.
You can't say that word.
Oh.
Come on now. Dang it. Oh, wait. Doggone it. Wait. What? Drat. Oh. Jeez, Lou. Let's go to MC in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. MC, what's going on? Let's put MC on hold. We'll get to MC after the top of the hour news. Well, there you go. By the way, you can certainly send us a letter, a hand. We love when people take the time. And by the way, if you're going to take the time to write us a letter, we're going to read it on the air, especially if they're really bad. But you can also drop us a line on Facebook or our website, toddstarns.com, and we'll be happy to we'll be happy to read the insults to you. Wow, I'm going to have to go through the thesaurus now. I just thought Geezaloo meant Geezaloo. I didn't know it meant like, you know, I was, you know, abomination or something. All right, we've got to take a quick break. Coming up, Steve Toth is going to be with us from the Texas House of Representatives. He is going to challenge Rhino Dan Crenshaw. Also, head over to our website, toddstarns.com, and be sure to make a donation to our Help Texas Fund. We are raising money all this month for our friends in the Texas Hill Country. We're just about $3,000, a little under $3,000 away from reaching our goal. Many of you have already started donating today, and we really want to be able to reach that goal today, if at all possible. So head over to toddstarns.com, scroll down, and you'll see our red banner. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back, America.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So last night on my Newsmax TV show, I did an interview with a congressman out of Florida, Carlos Jimenez. And a good guy, nice as could be. But the conversation was about Congresswoman Flores and her decision to tag team with Democrats to push through what is, in effect, a de facto amnesty plan for illegals. And they're just, the gist of it is, if you're an illegal and you got a job and you haven't gotten into any trouble, aside from breaking into the country, then you get to stay here. And for me, that's an amnesty plan. They're not calling it that, and they get upset when you do. But anyway, it turns out Congressman Jimenez is actually in favor of it. He was not one of the original 10 Republicans that were in favor. So that means now 12 Republicans, including Flores, are backing this amnesty plan. And this is a big problem in the House of Representatives, ladies and gentlemen. We just have far too many rhinos, Republicans in name only. And that doesn't mean, I'm not disparaging their good names. I'm just telling you, these are not America First conservatives we're talking about, and we got to root them out. There's no place in Congress for rhinos. And one of those rhinos is actually from the great state of Texas, Dan Crenshaw. Our next guest is in the Texas State House, State Representative Steve Toth, and he joins us today. And Mr. Toth, first of all, great to have you with us. And I understand you're going to be running against Mr. Crenshaw. Hello, Mr. Toth. All right, let's get him on. Let's put him on hold, and we'll get all that sorted out, and we hopefully will be able to reestablish contact. In the meantime, let's head over to the phones. I do want to get to MC, who was kind enough to hold over on the break from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, MC, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Mr. Starn. What's on my mind is that yesterday, the Winston-Salem Forsyth County School has revealed that our deficit from last year has now climbed to $46 million, which I'm not here to lay blame because it's going to be found out, but the superintendent is gone, the CFO is gone, and hopefully the State Bureau of Investigation is looking into it in case there was anything wrong going on other than just bad governance. But that's 100 and on the 2020 census, that's $115 for every man, woman, and child in Forsyth County. And, of course, not all of those people work. Just wanted to say a thing about public education.
Yeah, it's not just in Memphis or St. Louis. It is all across the country. And, MC, I think you've illustrated that with, $46 million in debt. That's insanity. And we've got to get a handle on it. We've got to. And the most important position you can be running for locally is on your local school board, ladies and gentlemen. MC, I appreciate you calling in and alerting us. What a mess there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. All right, I think we have reestablished contact with Steve Toth. Good to have you with us, sir.
Great to be with you, Todd. I love technology. It works great till it doesn't work.
No, look, trust me. My staff doesn't allow me to touch anything with a button, so I'm good. Yeah. Look, I'm really intrigued here because I think one of the big problems President Trump has is the House of Representatives and a bunch of rhino lawmakers who are not backing his agenda. And I think Dan Crenshaw is one of those guys.
He's absolutely one of the worst. He's a fair-weather Republican. When Donald Trump is in office, he kisses up to Trump best he can. When he's out of office, he criticizes him, votes with the Democrats, colludes with Biden. He's terrible. He goes along with these amnesty programs. He's pushed for open borders. He did this deal with the Democrats just in February of 2024 that would have allowed 5,000 illegals into the United States every single year. Terrible.
So what's going on in Texas? We hear so many stories about the state house, and you've got rhinos at the state level as well as up in Congress. Is something happening there? Are you guys seeing a demographic or political shift in Texas?
No, we're seeing a shift towards the right. In fact, you know, the reality is that the session before last, there were only four of us that stood alone, myself, Brian Harrison, Nate Chastline, and Tony Tinderholt. We brought in 15 new freshmen this year that upended a lot of rhinos, and our voting strength has gone from 4 to 6 to 15 to 25. So, yes, we still have a lot of work to do. There are 150 members in the Texas House, 88 Republicans. Of the 88 Republicans, there are about 20 solid conservatives. But we're making headway. We're encouraged. We're going to keep on fighting. We are fighting. And in the final 3 weeks of the session, we got some really good stuff done. I passed a bill that bars foreign entities, foreign adversaries like China and Iran from owning land in Texas. We're the very first state in the union to pass a bill this strong. And we're excited. We're getting some stuff done. We're going back into special session, and we're going to work towards Trump's agenda in the special session.
Now, we have a lot of listeners in the Houston area, and there has been a lot of anger directed at Crenshaw, because you're right. It's you never know which Crenshaw is going to show up, and I think that's been the big problem with folks.
He was on a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, and he was asked about his stock trades. And, you know, it's well known that he's outperforming Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway. He's not doing quite as well as Hillary Clinton, but he's right up there. And when, you know, folks said this should be curtailed, this should be stopped, he got angry about it. Said, you know, we haven't had a pay raise in forever, and here the guy's making $74 a year in Congress, while the average person in the state of Texas is only making $76,000 a year. And he's whining about how much he's being paid. He's just completely out of touch.
On our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now is Steve Toth. He is in the Texas State House and is going to be challenging Dan Crenshaw in the primary. You came pretty close. I mean, this is not the first time you've run for Congress, and you came pretty darn close in a previous race. What is it going to take to beat Dan Crenshaw?
This is a completely different race. And, you know, many years ago I ran up against Kevin Brady, who was he was chairman of Ways and Means at the time, and we held him to 53%. This is a different day. I've been in office now for 5 years. I have an extremely high name recognition in the area. We've done a lot of good things. We've shown our ability to raise money. We can raise money. We will raise money. And, we're going to give him a run for his money. Here's the crazy thing, is that in the last primary cycle, a young man ran against him that raised no money. I mean, very little money, like $7,000 to $10,000. And Dan Crenshaw outspent him 120-1. And the guy got 42% of the vote. And that was before he threatened to kill, to kill Tucker Carlson. That was before he, did this deal with the Democrats, bipartisan deal with the Democrats to allow 5,000 people into the United States a day. We're going to beat him.
I forgot all about that. I forgot that he wanted to kill Tucker Carlson. But Crenshaw came and go, yeah, I was yanking your chain. I really don't want to effing kill him.
Yeah, right.
I don't. It looked like a pretty serious threat to me. I mean, I mean, he was using Hunter Biden language there.
I know, it really was. It's a real person's going to show you who they really are when the mic is turned off, or you think it's turned off.
Yeah, well said. All right, where can people go, Steve, if they want to get information on your campaign, your platform? Where can they find that info?
SteveTothForCongress.com.
Oh, that's pretty simple.
All spelled out. TheOTHForCongress.com.
All right. Well, Steve, we've got a little phone line issue, but I think we got all that information out there. We're going to get you back on. This is going to be an important race, and honestly, we've got to root out the rhinos, folks. We've got to do it. Steve is a rock solid conservative, and you know that because the local media hate the guy. So, Steve, that's a good thing, by the way. But yes, absolutely. Well, we wish you nothing but the best, and good luck to you out there, Steve.
God bless you, Todd. Thanks for being a truth keeper.
All right. Steve Toth, everybody. He represents the 15th district there in the Texas State House, and he is running against Dan Crenshaw. That's going to be a fun one. I'm curious, Houston folk, how do you like this guy? Is you think Steve is going to be able to pull an upset? And by the way, he's not the only one. You folks in the Carolinas, you've got a mess of rhinos that you're dealing with. I know in Georgia, the same situation. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. As we go to break, just a reminder to head over and make a donation right now to our Texas Disaster Relief Fund. We are raising money to help our good friends in the Hill Country of Texas. $50 buys a family an emergency disaster kit, and we want to provide as many families as possible with those kits, and you can donate over at toddstearns.com. All right, just a reminder, Newsmax, 5 o'clock Eastern. Newsmax going public on the New York Stock Exchange. Millions of people are joining our news revolution. Reuters, by the way, says we are one of the top news brands in America. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for shows that you can enjoy, including the Todd Starnes Show. Also want to remind you to download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone, and you can start watching right now. President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. So, again, get that free Newsmax app and check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. You can go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us today. So, Stephen Colbert. He's not handling the loss of his job very well, and it's tough. I mean, when you get the heave ho, it happens, and sometimes it's really hard for people to come to grips with things. So anyway, Colbert talked about this last night. It was his first appearance on the show. He is the host of the CBS Late Show, and here's what Colbert said.
On Friday, Donald Trump posted, "I absolutely love that Colbert got fired. His talent was even less than his ratings." How dare you, sir? Would an untalented man be able to compose the following satirical witticism? Go f*** yourself. Thank you very much. Thank you. The president went on, "I hear Jimmy Kimmel is next." Nope. No, absolutely not Kimmel. I am the martyr, okay?
Oh, brother.
Okay, there's only room for one on this cross, and I gotta tell you, the view is fantastic from up here. I can see your house.
Yeah, you ain't Jesus, pal. You ain't Jesus. So that was Stephen Colbert, and he is now becoming, as you just heard, a martyr. That's how people like Jon Stewart, I wish we could play what he did last night on national television, on national radio. We can't do that because the filthy language was just insane, just insane. So here's the deal. They're out there saying, well, we all know that it was Donald Trump who got Stephen Colbert fired. That is simply not true. There are a couple of factors here, and I want to share them with you so you can be equipped with the facts. CBS is a business. They have to make money, right? They've got to pay their bills. And Stephen Colbert, his show was losing $40 million a year. $40 million a year. Now, Dylan, you're a music business degree guy. What happens if your company is losing $40 million a year? Guess what's going to happen?
Yeah, get fired.
Yeah, you're going to get fired. You're going to get fired.
And be broke.
You're going to be working down at the Whataburger. Maybe drive through. You can do a little shtick, you know, as people are waiting in the line. And so again, I hate it for Stephen Colbert, but the fact of the matter is his one show was losing $40 million a year. He was like the WNBA of late night TV, this guy. But on top of that, I also hear he's a jerk. And that's also not good. But it doesn't matter. You could be Billy Graham. And if you're losing $40 billion a year, CBS, as nice of a guy as Billy Graham was, CBS would not keep him around. That's just the nature of the business. It is nothing personal. It's just strictly business. And by the way, little Jimmy Kimmel is going to be next because his show is doing terrible. But there's even something else. And this is what's brilliant about it. Colbert was getting beaten in the ratings by none other than Greg Gutfeld over at Fox News Channel. So Colbert was not only losing money, he was losing in the ratings. It's not good for the guy. And he can't handle it. They've all got TDS Trump derangement syndrome. It's a bad situation for these folks. So anyway, that's the latest on Stephen Colbert. Let's go to the phone lines. Bob in Texas. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about Hunter Biden and his 2.5 hour rampage on the cable. I think he's trying to deflect away from the Autopen investigation. He's trying to make his dad look good, or, you know, claim he was on Ambien and all this, and trying to, deflect everything and get it away, you know, get the investigation away from his dad on the Autopen and putting all the attention on everybody else. So I'll take your response off air. That's basically what I wanted to say. Thanks.
Bob, well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. And it very well may be. I mean, it may be they're trying to deflect here. But all I know is that things are not going well for Hunter Biden or for the Biden family crime syndicate either. Not at all. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. There is a crazy story out of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, the Community College of Philadelphia. And this kid by the name of Frank Scales, he's the president of the Student Government Association. We have his story up at toddstearns.com. He was impeached and removed from office. Many of you may be saying, what did Frank Scales do? So this kid, turns out he was a supporter of President Trump. He would not renounce his support of President Trump, and therefore he was impeached. He was also accused of being white, which he is. Is that a crime now? Is ethnicity now a crime? So his fellow students impeached the poor guy because he's a white pro-Trump kid. Man, he's just three strikes and you're out, pal. Anyway, he also apparently misgendered somebody, and that got him a hate speech charge. If I were this kid, I'd be transferred to Liberty University. That's what I would do. All right, hang tight. We got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Memphis, Tennessee. It's the Todd Stern Show. Hello, everybody. A little blast from the past there. Dylan, I know you're a big music guy. What do you think about that theme song?
I wish we could bring that back.
Right? I miss it. I miss that kind of music. That was Doc Severson, and man, did he know how to play a trumpet. And, of course, he was the leader of the Tonight Show band. Anyway, I say that because of all the hullabaloo right now, with what's happening with Stephen Colbert and all the other late-night hosts, little Jimmy Kimmel. Who's the other guy? Everybody forgets about him. It's the Tonight Show host, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's rough to listen to.
It's just sad.
It's not the same.
No, it's sad. I want to bring in Josh Jones, our great friend and Republican strategist. Josh, were you ever, did your parents ever watch the Tonight Show when you were growing up?
Not that I remember, or at least not that I recall. Maybe I was too young, but I don't think so.
Oh, geez, Alou, you're aging me, man. That's. So there was a time, you know, Johnny Carson was the king of late night TV, and he really had a rule when it came to, and it was not necessarily a strict rule, But he, whenever he told a political joke, it was a fun joke. It was a joke that even the candidate could laugh at. But he also, you know, had the politicians on his show. And I want to play a clip, Josh. This was when Ronald Reagan showed up on the set of The Tonight Show. Let's take a listen.
We're talking with former Governor Reagan, and during the break we were discussing when I mentioned that I thought most people were not apathetic. I think they're confused, basically, because you hear intelligent people from both political parties or in the middle, conservatives and liberals, and they all seem to have different answers as to what is going wrong in the country. Some people say, well, let's let the government spend billions of dollars. And then some other people say, no, no more federal spending. Let's give the tax rebates. And the other intelligent people say, no tax rebates. We've got to do this and do that. So everybody is confused. How do you see the thing? How are we going to get out of this?
Well, Johnny, I think that one of the things is that people keep looking to government for the answer, and government's the problem. You, a moment ago, you asked, you know, about people and feeling not only confused, but right, low and down in America. First of all, the American people, if they would just take a little inventory and look around, you triple our troubles, and we're better off than any other people on earth. And we've asked so much of government, and we've gotten in the habit over the last 40 years of thinking that government has the answers. There's very little that government can do as efficiently and as economically as the people can do themselves. And if government would shut the doors and sneak away for about 3 weeks, we'd never miss them.
Wow. Josh, man, they don't make politicians like that anymore, except for Donald Trump.
Right. No, you're totally right. I mean, Reagan, the spot on there, and you know, more people need to take note of that today.
It's really sad because, you know, that's what late night TV used to be, and the jokes, the fun, you would learn a lot, and we just don't get that now. It's just a mean-spiritedness. I'm wondering, when you counsel candidates, do you ever tell the Republicans, oh, yeah, you might want to try to, you know, go on a Jimmy Kimmel show?
I haven't been asked specifically on the late shows, but when it comes to the media, and you can lump the late shows in there, you have to just realize you're walking into a hostile environment these days. And the unfortunate reality is, if you get away into politics, because I get it, politics are pop culture too, to a degree. So, you know, it's fun to make fun of both sides, but you have to apply that equally and do it in good faith and not just push a political agenda because that's, you know, what you happen to believe as the host or, you know, anybody else on the show.
I want to give our listeners a preview. You're going to be on the Newsmax show tonight, and we're going to be talking about James Carville. And Carville is losing his mind right now. This was his latest tweet. Our party, talking about the Democrats, our party is headed for a civilized civil war. It's vital we have it, and even more vital that we delay it. And Carville is really frustrated with the direction of the Democrat Party, right? I mean, when you see the Democrats, what's going on over there?
Yeah, I mean, he's not totally wrong. They are divided, and they're going through their own little internal struggle here of what the future of the party looks like. I mean, they got absolutely wiped out electorally in 2024. And I think a lot of them are having a soul searching moment of, oh shoot, like we just got annihilated electorally. What's our next steps here? And there's some real divide, especially among the generational lines in the Democratic Party of, you know, sticking to the more traditional blue dog Democrat path. You know, more similar to the Joe Biden types of the world, or do they pivot to the more Bernie Sanders types? And, you know, that's what you see in New York with Mondani getting the nomination for the New York mayor election.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Mamdani. I know that Charlie Kirk was sitting down with Tucker Carlson, I believe it was yesterday, and Charlie said the reason why Mamdani is making such an impact is that so many Gen Zers are basically, they got no money, they've got no credit, they're maxed out if they do have credit, and they can't buy homes. And this is all leading up to what he's calling some sort of a revolution, which is leading to people like Mamdani. Do you see it like that?
To a degree, I mean, he's not wrong. Because if you look, I know Tucker Carlson has made this point in the past, you know, if you look at the price of buying a home, for example, you know, quite essentially the American dream, or at least a big stop on, you know, on the path to the American dream, that's really out of reach for a lot of people, especially younger generations, who just don't see that path existing. So they're going to more extremes to try and find that. And, you know, people addressing those problems. Now, I'm not a fan of Mondani in the slightest, but I mean, he's at least talking about that issue, and I think his policies are wrong, but he's not wrong in addressing that there is a problem there that needs to be addressed, and I think that's what's resonating with people. That, amongst other things, but, you know, the cost of living, basically.
Well, then you have his Somali brethren. You know, that guy's from Uganda. You've got a Somali American who is probably going to be the next mayor of Minneapolis, beating out Jacob Frey for the endorsement over there for the socialists. So it's clearly something is going on out there, and there is something simmering just beneath the surface.
Yeah, no, it's scary. I mean, we'll see what the Democrats do, because, you know, like Harville points out in this New York Times piece, I mean, there is a real divide among the Democratic Party. And maybe this is just a blip on the radar, and it's a little bit of a whiplash from the pendulum swinging after the election in 2024, and then a comeback towards the middle. Or maybe the Democrats are going to run even further to the left, which hard to believe, but we'll see if that happens or not.
Josh Jones, a Republican political strategist, joining us here on the show today. The story, I want to go back to this James Carville piece in the New York Times. This is the opening paragraph. Constipated. Leaderless, confused, a cracked out clown car. I think that's the Hunter Biden reference. Divided. These are the words I hear my fellow Democrats using to describe our party as of late. The truth is they're not wrong. The Democrat Party is in shambles. Now, I believe Carville here. I think that's a pretty good description of what they're dealing with. My question is, on the Republican side of the aisle, What do you recommend the Republican candidates do in the midterms? Because I don't think they ought to celebrate here. I think they need to be very focused going into the election.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. I mean, the midterms historically, regardless of whatever party you're rooting for, historically, whatever party's in the White House typically doesn't do that great in the midterms. So Republicans can't take their eye off the ball here, and they have to keep running like they're 10 points behind, even if they're 10 points ahead. But, I mean, it is an advantage for the Republicans because the Republicans are largely unified. They passed the one big, beautiful bill, and we still got plenty of time to implement more components of the Trump agenda leading up to the election. So my message for Republicans is stay on message, stay unified. And, like, look, we're a big tent party. There's going to be disagreements when it comes to certain policy. That happens. That's politics. But in large part, when it comes to messaging and public appearance, we need to be a unified front heading into next year. That way, you know, we have the highest odds of winning the election. And also the fundraising numbers just posted, and the NRCC and the Republicans just out-fundraised Democrats by basically double. So, I mean, we're on good footing. We just can't mess it up.
No, I don't think you're right. I don't think we should. And we need to stay focused, and be smart, play smart politics. All right, Josh, we're going to let you go. We will see you tonight. I did get a question from a viewer last week, and they said, "Man, that guy has one heck of a tan."
Yeah, I right before coming on the show, literally that day, I'd flown back from Texas. I was doing some work with some of our congressional clients down in Texas. So between mix of the Texas heat, I guess, and the tan and the UVs down there, he came back with a pretty good tan.
Not too bad. Well, you never know, because the Newsmax hair and makeup ladies, they can give you a tan.
That is true as well. It's probably always a mixture of both.
Well said. All right, Josh Jones, we'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. There you go. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, President Trump making a little bit of news just moments ago. The president suggested, well, not suggesting, he believes that Obama needs to be held accountable for what happened with the Russia collusion scandal. It's not only a hoax, but even worse, it's a scandal. And somebody's got to pay for that. And it looks like all the evidence is leading back to one specific person, and that person being Barack Hussein Obama. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Back, everybody, to the Todd Stern Radio Show. So moments ago, President Trump speaking from the Oval Office about this whole Russia collusion scandal. And here's what he had to say about Barack Obama.
Tulsi Gabbard has submitted a criminal referral to the Department of Justice. From your perspective, who should the DOJ target as part of their investigation? What specific figures in the Obama administration?
Well, based on what I read, and I read pretty much what you read, it would be President Obama. He started it. And Biden was there with him. And Comey was there. And Clapper. The whole group was there. Brennan. They were all there in a room. Right here. This was the room. This is much more beautiful than it was then, but that's okay. I have nice pictures up. They came out of the vaults. They were in there for 100 years. This is much more beautiful. We have the Declaration of Independence now in the room, which wasn't here. I guess people didn't feel too good about putting it here, but I do. But you know what? If you look at that, those papers, they have them stone cold, and it was President Obama. It wasn't lots of people all over the place. It was them, too. But the leader of the gang was President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? And except for the fact that he gets shielded by the press for his entire life, that's the one they... Look, he's guilty. It's not a question. You know, I like to say, let's give it time. It's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of. They tried to steal the election. They tried to obfuscate the election. They did things that nobody's ever even imagined, even in other countries. You've seen some pretty rough countries. This man has seen some pretty rough countries, but you've never seen anything like it.
So the president, and it's he is holding court right now. He's got a lot on his mind. And the president said, quote, "It's time to go after people. After what they did to me, whether it's right or wrong, it's time to go after people." So, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump is not joking around here. They messed with the wrong guy. And Barack Hussein Obama and all the others are about to F-A-F-O. This president is very serious about what is about to happen. And my question to you is, do you support the president here? Because Trump is going after these people. And I think that he ought to. And I think that he ought to go in with full force and ferocity. They would do it to the Republicans. As a matter of fact, they did it to the Republicans, even though the Republicans didn't do anything wrong. They threw Steve Bannon in prison for 4 months because he refused to testify to Congress. The same thing with Peter Navarro, Paul Manafort. The list goes on and on. Roger Stone. These people did nothing wrong. You may not like them. Fine. That's your prerogative, but they did nothing wrong. But the weaponization of the federal government against the American people, it's got to come to a stop. And Donald Trump, he's ready to go after him. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I think that for the sake of the Republic, we have to see Obama and we have to see Hillary in shackles, in handcuffs, in the orange jumpsuits, being marched up to the courthouse. We need to see their homes being raided by the FBI. And if we don't, I just don't think Republicans are ever going to get elected again. Because if we don't follow through on the rhetoric, we're nothing but a bunch of wusses. It is what it is. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Jerry in Iowa. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind today?
Thank you, Todd. I was going to talk to you about your earlier comments about Christians stay and fight, or I'm going to paraphrase you, abandon ship. Your earlier guest in education was talking about should you homeschool your kids or should you stay and be a school board mama bear. But the whole thing, what you're talking about right now, if I could divert, if you'll grant me some latitude, Christians are so nice as far as going after Barack Obama and the people who instigated this. Christians, I'm not saying all of us, but we're passive. We're cooperative. We're not activists. We don't like to make waves. And to that extent, we're complicit. So if God has given us the victory here, and it's not about vengeance, it's about rooting out evil, it's about real justice. And it's not, and by the way, the Bible talks about kindness, not nice. So God has handed us the victory, and are we just going to say, do you know what they do to Donald Trump here with the 32 felony counts? it's not time to say, oh, well, he's just a former president. He's half black. I liked what you said the other day. We should prosecute the white half, at least. It's not time to be nice. This is the time to consolidate and to fix that which has gone wrong. So I kind of, it's a different topic than I called about. I apologize for that. But the Johnson Amendment, that's another thing. Christians just got semi-repealed. For 70 years, since the 50s, then-Senator Johnson wanted to put a sock in the mouth of Christians and pastors and the religious types, and they turned D.C. into the slimy swamp that it is. So it's been repealed. The pastors need to speak out. They need to say, this guy's rotten, this guy's good. And it's time to have a little bit of courage and grow a pair and let justice roll down like the waters. If Barack Obama and Comey and Clapper and all these evil people try to destroy our government and our way of life, including our schools, it's time to carve up the beast. God's given us the victory. It's not a time to be, I'm not saying don't be nice. Nice is not the word. Justice, yeah, kindness, yes. Passivity, cooperation, like in the pre-war years in Germany, the Christians were passive. They cooperated. They put their kids in the Luftwaffe and the German army. It's time to finish this job and consolidate our country. So,
Jerry, yeah, we're going to have to leave it there. The music's going to cut you off, my friend. But yes, we have to be a force, and we have to stand up, onward Christian soldiers, as the hymn writer sang. All right, hang tight. Hour three coming up, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
If you look at that, those papers, they have them stone cold, and it was President Obama. It wasn't lots of people all over the place, it was them too. But the leader of the gang was President Obama. Barack Hussein Obama, have you heard of him? And except for the fact that he gets shielded by the press for his entire life, that's the one they... Look, he's guilty. It's not a question. You know, I like to say, let's give it time. It's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of. They tried to steal the election. They tried to obfuscate the election. They did things that nobody's ever even imagined, even in other countries. You've seen some pretty rough countries. This man has seen some pretty rough countries, but you've never seen anything like it. And we have all of the documents. And from what Tulsi told me, she's got thousands of additional documents coming. So President Obama, it was his concept, his idea, but he also got it from crooked Hillary Clinton. Crooked is a $3 bill.
Wow, that was President Trump just moments ago in the White House in the Oval Office. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Stearns. Thank you for listening to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We're honored to have you with us today. That breaking news, President Trump says the Justice Department should immediately investigate Obama. He says the leader of the gang was Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. He's guilty. This is treason. And a very simple question for you, ladies and gentlemen. Do you agree with President Trump? Do you believe that the Justice Department should immediately go after Obama and Hillary and everybody else who was responsible for perpetrating this hoax on the American people? You know, I go back to 2016. And people were so excited about Donald Trump. And I think the man would have won in a landslide against Hillary had all of these allegations not come about. Remember, they were trying to convince you, and the media was just nonstop pounding this issue every single day. They really wanted the American people to believe that Donald Trump was some sort of a Russian asset, that he was maybe a double agent who had betrayed his country. when in fact Russia had nothing to do with this. Donald Trump had nothing to do with this. It was all created. It was all a fakery created by Barack Hussein Obama and his administration. So the question now is, what happens? And you know how Republicans typically do this. They'll hold a bunch of hearings and nothing happens, or they're going to say, well, you know, that was 10 years ago and we just need to move on. We need to let bygones be bygones. They will think, and they're already having these conversations. Trust me on this. These conversations are being had. People are thinking and talking, and they're thinking to themselves, and they're saying, oh, what happens if the American people get angry with us? What happens if the Democrats get upset that Barack Obama is arrested and is in jail? And my philosophy on this is very clear. They're guilty as charged. Throw the book at them, every single one of them. If they did it, they should pay a price. And whatever it is, justice has not been served. Donald Trump deserves justice. What this man has been put through, it's not acceptable. Now, if you go back and there never was a Russia collusion, I think Donald Trump would have won in a landslide, and I think he would have won his second term in office. But they use this to sabotage his election and then to try and overthrow a duly elected president. If they had been successful, Mike Pence would have been the president. And so now you have to wonder, okay, well, was Mike Pence involved in some capacity? What's his role in all of this? We do need to get to the bottom of that. But again, ladies and gentlemen, this is significant, absolutely significant. And the question is, what happens? What happens now? Where does all of this go? What do you want to see happen? And it's important because you guys do factor into this. I do believe that if you have a large majority of the population and they get out there and they say, Mr. President, you've got to follow through on this. Well, guess what? I think the president's going to do it. But as he is talking right now, it sounds like the president, he doesn't really care what we think. He wants justice. And I don't blame the man one bit. After all he's been through, I mean, rummaging through his wife's private drawers at Mar-a-Lago and going through poor Barron Trump's bedroom. Come on. That's insane. Anyway, curious to hear your thoughts on this. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, also, want to bring your attention to something, and I say this because we haven't focused a lot of time. We've had a lot going on this show, but we are knocking on the door of our fundraising goal, $20,000. We have been working very hard to try to help the people of the Texas Hill Country, and you guys have been so incredibly generous with all of your giving. We've almost raised $20,000. We're just under $3,000 from hitting that goal. Now, here's what we're asking you to do. A gift of $50 will rush an emergency relief kit to a hurting family in the Texas Hill Country. $100, two families. So really, whatever you can donate is going to make a huge, huge effort. We've had people donate $1,000. A number of you have donated $500. Most people donating $50. You may not have $50, but you've got $20. You know what? God's going to bless that $20 because somebody else out there probably has $20. Somebody out there has $10. And then, boom, you're supplying an emergency relief kit to one of these families in Texas. So we're working and partnering with our friends at Food for the Poor. They have a ton of staffers, boots on the ground right now in Kerrville, Texas, and they're helping to coordinate and organize all of this. So I want you to do two things. You can either call, you can phone your gift in. That number, by the way, 855-348-4673. That's 855-348-4673. You can also go to ToddStearns.com. There should be a red banner at the top of the page. If there's not, scroll down and you'll see the red banner. Click on that and it'll take you to the place online where you can donate, and it takes all of 30 seconds, if that much. Later on this hour, we're going to be reading off the names, really sort of the Hall of Fame, people who are donating. Maybe if you want to leave us a message, we'll read the message as well. But again, head over to the website, ToddStearns.com, and you can click there and donate and support our efforts. Got to take a break, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Ozzy Osbourne just died. Wow, that's sad. Remember, he did the reality TV show with his wife Sharon. Wasn't he bit the head off the bat? Was that back during his Black Sabbath days? Anyway, he had not been doing very well at all. And he was in his 76 years old. He had been in bad health for a very long time. And anyways, the family releasing a statement. They said, "It is with more sadness than mere words can convey that we have to report that our beloved Ozzy Osbourne has passed away this morning. He was with his family and surrounded by love." So certainly our thoughts and prayers are with the Osbourne family there. Those things always come in threes, you know, the big celebrity deaths. They always come. So you had Theo Huxtable, who passed away yesterday, and you know, I went back and people were going back and sharing clips of the Cosby Show, which was a huge show back in the 1980s and then into the 1990s, and there was a lot of anger in the, believe it or not, in the Black activist community. People were really upset because the show portrayed a Black doctor and his lawyer wife. These were upper middle class, very well established Black family. And the activists couldn't stand it. They said it wasn't realistic. It wasn't authentic. I clearly think that the audience disagreed because it was one of the top shows on television for many, many years. All right. I want to play some audio here. This is Maria Salazar, and she's trying to sell this amnesty bill. They're calling it the Dignity Bill. And anyway, Congresswoman Salazar on Miami television, this is a Republican, ladies and gentlemen, a Republican. And here's what she said about the illegals and protecting the illegals.
We give them dignity. At some point in the future, another legislator will write another law to give them path to citizenship. Right now, what we need to do is to buy peace for these people, allow them to stay, to continue working, because they are needed. You see, it's what I'm trying to do is to bring some common sense, which is the least common of all senses, to this conversation. And I know that someone from Miami could do it easily because, you know, I was on Univision and I served that community for many years. Besides, now I'm representing some of their family members. It's easy. The economy needs them. They do not have a criminal record. They have not gone into trouble. They have been here for a long time. They have roots in the country. Let them stay. Don't give them any type of federal programs. And allow them to pay taxes, help the Social Security fund, and let them stay and contribute with the economy with no criminal record. What is wrong with that? We need them.
So this woman is clearly a Democrat when it comes to protecting the illegals. This is a big deal, a very big deal, and here's the reason why. A lot of Republicans feel the same way she does, and if they side with all the Democrats, it's over. As a matter of fact, right now, Salazar has, I think 12 Republicans are now siding with her. And that means big trouble in the event they want to move this through the House. Now, the good news here is Donald Trump says he's vetoing any, he'll veto all of this. The concern I have is it could have the numbers in the Senate. I mean, we've got just far too many rhinos up on Capitol Hill right now. And you folks are going to have to deal with this in your own congressional districts as we move through and move toward the midterms. Matter of fact, President Trump, by the way, an interesting note on this. President Trump is already focusing on the midterm elections. And there's some polling data out there from Rasmussen about the Republicans in the midterms. And I want to share this with you. This is Mark Rasmussen. And he was, pardon me, this is Mark Mitchell from Rasmussen. And Mark Mitchell, the head pollster at Rasmussen, was on the Alex Jones Show yesterday and said, hey, look, support for the Republican Party is decreasing, which could lead to the party losing the House in the midterm elections. The Senate is safe. Senate is okay. We're going to keep the Senate. But it's the House that's in trouble. And the story out of Newsweek, and here's the breakdown here, is that Democrats right now are leading Republicans by 4 percentage points, which is an improvement from last month when the Democrat Party was ahead by about 1 percentage point. Now, this is not all that much of a surprise, because typically the party that wins the White House usually loses in the midterm elections. But we can't let that happen. We've got far too much going on, and we know that the Democrats are going to turn this into an impeachapalooza if they win back the House. Now, Mitchell said that regaining the House could embolden Democrats to launch investigations against Trump. And we already know that Jasmine Crockett has already said they're going to do that. Mitchell called this moment a turning point for the administration, and he's blaming the Epstein saga. He described it as a horrible optics mistake. And I get it. It's bad optics. I would disagree with him there. I don't believe that Epstein is going to impact voters that much. Let me just say this. It will not encourage Democrats to go and vote, but it could discourage Republicans from getting out there and voting. And that could be the possibility here. The president's net approval rating went from +8 to -4 in just under 3 weeks, but has recovered to a +2. A July poll conducted by Rasmussen found 56% don't believe the FBI or the Justice Department were telling the truth about the Epstein files. 21% believe the government. Mitchell said the Rasmussen polling thermonuclear, that's what he called it, in a YouTube video explaining the poll results. And he's predicting that Trump could lose the House and the Senate over the polling. Other pollsters have also spelled out some bad news for the president. A survey of The Economist YouGov, 55% disapprove of Trump's job performance, 41% approve. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, how are you feeling about the midterms? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, I forgot to play this audio. This is a Congress gal, Yvette Clark. She is a Democrat out of New York, and I really appreciate this lady. She is dumb as a rock, this lady, but she was honest as all get out, and she was explaining why she needs not fewer but more illegals in her congressional district. Take a listen to Cut 9.
I'm from Brooklyn, New York. We have a diaspora that can absorb a significant number of these migrants. And when I hear colleagues talk about, the doors of the inn being closed, no room in the inn, I'm saying, I need more people in my district, but just for redistricting purposes. And those members could clearly fit here.
Well, there you go. She says that she needs more illegals for redistricting. That's what that's all about. So you got to give credit to these Democrats, because at least they're being honest with you. But there was another report out there that in California could actually lose 4 congressional seats as a result of the loss of the illegals. And if that happens, that is a huge, huge win for the Republicans, and not such great news right now for the Democrats. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Just a reminder, as we come back, we're going to be giving a shout out to all of the great folks who have been donating and helping our Texas Flood Relief Plan, disaster relief for the Texas Hill Country, donating emergency supplies. And you can give $50 right now to help send one family an emergency relief kit. You can do that by going to ToddStearns.com right now. That's ToddStearns.com. Click on the red Disaster Relief Help Texas banner, and you'll be able to make a quick donation. Also, just a reminder, we have some free stuff for you, and we've been asking a lot of you over the past couple of weeks, but I want to make sure you get a couple of free things. That would be our newsletter and our podcast. If you miss an hour of the show, you can go back and you can listen online at your convenience. Again, free of charge, available on all podcast platforms, The Todd Stearns Show. Access that again at toddstearns.com. We'll be right back. Back. Any of you folks go to Cracker Barrel lately? You know, they did the whole redesign. It's weird. I'm just getting old or something. I just like the way Cracker Barrel used to be, right? It kind of felt like you were in an old time store, and now you feel like you're in, I don't know, a spa. It's weird. Anyway, a conservative law group known as America First Legal has filed complaints with the Tennessee Attorney General and the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission. And they're alleging that Cracker Barrel is maintaining discriminatory employment practices because of its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. Cracker Barrel has rebranded its DEI website to something called Culture and Belonging, arguing the name change did not halt Cracker Barrel from using diversity as a proxy for race and sex. So the allegation now is that Cracker Barrel is not hiring the best waiters and waitresses and cooks. They're just hiring people based on DEI. So it may be, you know, they're hiring a bunch of, I don't know, pansexuals or lesbians or whoever. I don't know. I haven't been there in a long time. According to the AFL, these groups offer employment benefits only available to employees belonging to certain races or sexes. So if you're employed by Cracker Barrel, well, if you're a person who is black or Hispanic, then you would receive things that others do not. So if you're a white employee, you would not have access. According to the complaint, the benefits also extend to LGBT people and people who are neurodiverse. I don't even want to know. Don't even want to know. Oh, and women. So basically, if you're a white dude, you're screwed if you're going to work at Cracker Barrel. Unbelievable. I'm shocked. But, you know, all of this started, and by the way, all of this started really when they started serving the plant-based sausage and the booze. And they had to serve the booze so you could wash down the plant-based sausage. Nobody could keep it down. I'm just saying. Anyway, a lot of people said, you know, there's something weird about Cracker Barrel food. There's like a bitter aftertaste, but it's really not the food. It's their diversity policies. So there you go. All right. Mm-mm-mm. You know, it seems like the only people that have never been impacted by this diversity stuff, Waffle House. Waffle House, you're lucky to get out of there with your life. I'm just saying. But the food's pretty. Dylan, have you been to Waffle House? Are you a Waffle House
guy? I love Waffle House.
Isn't it great?
It's great, especially at 2 a.m. when you're not supposed to be there.
You get a little indigestion.
Of course.
And some lead poisoning if you're not too careful.
That's true.
Depending on what part of Memphis you're going.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
You got to be careful. Years ago, I was in Northeast Georgia in the mountains, and I stopped off at a Waffle House. And this is an old school Waffle House. This was a dangerous Waffle House. And there was a good old boy, and he was one of those guys where you just wanted to steer clear. He was sitting up at the counter, right? And he was wearing a cowboy hat, and he had boots. And the guy, he just oozed anger and bad life choices. So I'm sitting there, and we were at a booth or whatever, and the guy wanted his eggs a certain way. It was over easy. And so he ordered the eggs over easy, and they came to him scrambled. And he got upset and started screaming, and he said, over easy. So they came back, and they fried the eggs. And I thought that guy was going to come unglued. And then he reaches for his gun, and I thought, for the love of God, somebody make the eggs over easy. I didn't mean to blurt it out. I was just concerned. And the guy looked at me and goes, thank you, sir. I said, you're welcome. What's wrong with you people?
Well, you also don't want to talk back to the Waffle House employees because they're packing too.
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, which side are you going to be on? I was kind of like Switzerland, but really not.
Because you still want your eggs good too.
I just wanted to get out of there alive. Sure. For the love of God, man. Oh, geez, Alou. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I do want to go through and read some of the great things that you guys have been posting over on our website. So many of you have been helping with our effort to help the good people of Texas, and so many of you have just been so generous with your kind gifts. And I want to start in Atlanta, where Jim has just given us a gift of $50. Jim, thank you for that. Jeffrey in Orange Beach, $100. Brenda in Ely, Nevada. That's Wyatt Cox country. We love our good buddy Wyatt. Brenda donating $50. God bless you, Brenda. We sure do appreciate you. Dan in Inver Grove Heights, $50. Kathy in, I believe that's Laurel, Mississippi. That's a fun little town, $100. Dawn in Kansas City donating $30 today for the effort. Dawn, thank you for that. Tracy in St. Charles, Missouri, listening to us on the Real Talk Radio Network. Great radio stations out there. $130. Tracy, thank you. And Tracy writing, thank you, Todd, for taking on this challenge. May all those directly impacted by the flood be lifted up in our prayers and God's love for his children. Tracy, what a beautiful thing to say. Thank you. Douglas writing in to all of our friends, known and unknown, in the great state of Texas. And Douglas giving us $120 for the effort. Darlene, $25. Thank you, Darlene. Dennis, $25. Guess what? You guys just helped a family. Appreciate that. Tim in Atlanta, $50. We have Carl in Louisiana, $100. Thank you, Carl. And Judy in Covington. Now, that could be Covington, Tennessee or Georgia. I don't know. But Judy, thank you for that $200 gift. God bless you. And John in Seattle, $50. Anne giving us $100. And Doris in Erie, Pennsylvania, a $50 gift. Thank you guys so very much for the incredible donations. And we're going to keep tabs on those. We'll be doing that again tomorrow as you guys donate and help us hit that 20,000. You know, we're just like right there on the verge. And I feel like Jerry Lewis doing the telethon, right? But we certainly appreciate you guys and all the great work you're doing. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. So yesterday on Newsmax, I mentioned Congressman Jimenez, and we had a chance to sit down and talk with him about a lot of issues. Let's take a listen. Congressman, good to have you with us. What in the world is going on here with this? That's really a de facto amnesty bill.
Well, and I'm going to disagree with you on amnesty. And so what is amnesty? And so, look, 95% of the American people, if not 100%, agree that criminals, gang members, people with active deportation orders should be deported. But it's a practical impossibility to go ahead and deport 20 to 25 million people, many of which have been here for years. So we have to find a way to find a way where you don't grant amnesty, that they pay fines, that they contribute to the economy, that they're allowed to stay because they've been here for so long and they're part of our economy and they're working, and also pay for their own health insurance and pay taxes, et cetera, and receive no federal benefits, and then also institute something where employers cannot employ people that don't have a work permit. And so we need to find a solution to this, because while we agree 100% with what the president is doing with regards to criminals and gang members and all that, there's a lot of differences of opinion. It should be nuanced more than what it is. is. And so that's what's causing some problems in certain areas, in a lot of areas of America.
Do we have any kind of estimation of how many of those people are going to be able to stay here in the United States?
I think that what Salazar's bill says, that anybody that was here about 5 years ago. And so all of the folks that were here or that were granted asylum during the Biden years, I don't think they'll be eligible to get into in the program, let's say, take advantage of what she's put out. But she's looking at folks that have been here for quite a bit of time, probably have children here, have established a life here. And look, I come from Miami. We have, it's 70% Hispanic. Many of those folks that have lost temporary protective status and the right to work have been here years. I mean, I'm talking 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. They're part of the community. They haven't been back to their home country in 20 years, 25 years. They've got kids, and they're part of the economy. And so, yeah, we need to find different solutions for different people. It's not a one-size-all, you know, solution. And so I think that's what she's trying to do.
And yet, Congressman, when you look at the polling data out there, an overwhelming majority of the voters support President Trump's belief that everybody needs to go back. If you're not here legally, you should go back. There's a lot of concern also about the people trying to get here legally, and it seems like nobody really ever wants to talk about their plight.
Well, look, the people that are trying to get here legally, there is and should, you know, remain a path to enter the United States legally. You know, Congresswoman Salazar's bill does not put any of those folks that are here now in front of those people that are trying to do it the right way. If they want to become citizens, they get to the back of the line, which is the right thing to do. But you also have to acknowledge that there are 20 to 25 million people that are here right now. And so if you somehow think that somehow we're going to be deporting 20 to 25 million people, I think you're mistaken. And so we have to find a solution that's equitable for everybody. It doesn't reward them for being here. They have to pay a hefty fine. But at the end of the day, also, many of our businesses, especially hospitality, manufacturing, construction jobs, are actually, a lot of these folks are in that. And if you actually take them away, it'll actually hurt our economy. And so we got to find a way where it actually helps our economy, you know, allows them to stay, doesn't give them a path to citizenship, makes them pay a hefty fine, and then faces the reality of what we're facing. Look, we couldn't have this conversation until the border was actually closed. The border is closed. And so what we need to do is make sure that nobody else can come in, and then you need to start discussing, okay, what do we do with everybody that's in here? Those that are criminals, that have a criminal record, they're gone. And even if you are given some kind of, let's say this thing passes and you're allowed to stay, if you commit a serious crime while you're here, you lose again the ability to stay in the United States. And so everybody that's a criminal, gang member, etc., is going to be out, deportation orders out, but you've got to do something about the 20 other million people that are here and have been here for a long time.
Congressman, real quick here, and I hear exactly what you're saying. Do you think that message, though, needs to be conveyed to the base of the party? Because the idea is everybody goes. But I hear what you're saying. But do you believe that that needs to be, that language needs to be conveyed to the base?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I mean, I tell you what, there are many Republicans from my district that are calling me and saying, hey, what's happening is just wrong. Okay. And I know this person, I know this person. I can rattle off a bunch of names, a bunch of employers in my district that are saying, hey, I've lost 200 people, 150 people. I've had them for 10 years, and now they got to go. And so, yeah, look, I think the American people are a very generous people. I think 95% to 100% of the people agree with criminals, gang members, etc. They have to go. They got to go. Everybody I know agrees with that. The issue comes when you're talking about these people that have been here 20, 25 years, have no criminal record, are part of the community, etc. We got to do something about that. And I think that this issue is going to become more and more important as time goes on. I've already heard rumblings in my community, in my caucus. When I went last week, I said, have you guys heard about this? To many of the members in that caucus said, yeah, we're having issues in our own community. And so, yeah, it's something that's going to come to a head. But only when, and we have it now, when we control that border. And we must continue to control that border. If not, we can't even have the discussion.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, it's interesting. We were talking about schools earlier and just how crazy things are getting out there. And especially when it comes to immigration, because so many schools now are having to hire teachers who are ESL, and a lot of the kids don't speak English, and so they have to allow and allot for resources to teach all these kids. So anyway, there is a lady by the name of Lily Tang Williams. She's a Chinese immigrant. She's a legal immigrant. And here's what she had to say to the Democrats on immigration.
Well, I'm a legal immigrant. I came here right away. It took me 6.5 years to become citizen. My brother waited in China for 13 years to come here. It is a slap in the face to all the legal immigrants who are still waiting in line all over the world with American sponsors. Some of them have been waiting for over 10 years. What kind of message do we want to send to the world? If you follow the law, we're going to punish you. And if you come here illegally, we'll give you quick pass to citizenship. I support deport all the illegal aliens who committed crime immediately.
Yeah, I like how Lily thinks here. Way to go, Lily Tang Williams. Yeah, I'm with you, ma'am, because we've got a lot of people that want to come here. They want to live the American dream. They want to make our nation a better place, right? That's the whole point of bringing immigrants into the country. We want the best and the brightest. Do you really think that's what they've been sending over to Minneapolis or New York City? Do you really think that that's what's going on? I don't think so. No, you see, the Democrats are using, and by the way, let me say this. Why Somalia? Why all the folks from Somalia? Why are those folks here? Well, it's very clear. The Democrats wanted to resettle those people. That's the reason why. That's the reason why. They want to change our culture. I know that people don't like to hear the phrase replacement theory, but that's really what's going on here. I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you. So anyway, we'll get into more of this tomorrow. A big event at the White House coming up 5 o'clock tonight, and we'll take you there live during the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax 2. You can watch the show on YouTube. You can also watch the Todd Stearns Show on the Newsmax website. So, or if you have one of these OTT platforms like Roku, Pluto, all of those, they carry us on those as well. Again, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax. And we're going to have a great debate. One of the things we started doing on Newsmax on my show is we have a Democrat and a Republican, left versus right, and they go at it, and I love it. It's great TV. It's a lot of fun. And one of the reasons I do that is I want people to understand that the conservative viewpoint is always, always the winning argument. And that's just the way it is. All right, folks, been a lot of fun. Don't forget, head over to ToddStearns.com sometime this afternoon. Help us reach our goal of $20,000. We're knocking on the door. Knocking on the door, ladies and gentlemen, helping our friends over in the Texas Hill Country with emergency relief kits. Been a lot of fun today, folks. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. ToddStearns.com. Read all of our great stories, great content, videos. Go check it out after the show. All right, we got to scoot out of here. Get ready for Newsmax. In the meantime, you folks, be good, America.